Okay, let me just set this up here quickly. All right. Well, guess what we're going to look at today? Yes, we're going to look at the book of Galatians. And I'll just set this up here. Slideshow. There we go. Okay. The book of Galatians, we took a little break from it last week. We had Thanksgiving, so I was able to speak on gratitude. And it was really crazy. We had somebody show up here, and he had been wanting to go to church for a while, and it was so good to see him. And he came, and I changed my message last second, and it was the exact thing that he had conversation about and needed to hear about. So he wrote me, he's like, I can't believe there's so many coincidences going on here. So God is working, right, in our midst. He's doing things that we can't even see, that we can't possibly orchestrate. And so so we're going to come back and we're going to look at the book of Galatians, a very, very important book. Now, remember we went through Philemon, which was another one of Paul's letters. The book of Galatians is one of the Apostle Paul's letters. And he was writing to the churches in the area of Galatia. So there was many churches. It wasn't just one. So Philemon is the only letter that Paul wrote to an actual person. All the other letters that he wrote were to churches. And so Paul is writing this letter to the churches in the area, in the region of Galatia. So there it is. I kind of showed that one Sunday, which is what we call present-day Turkey. So Turkey is there. You see Iraq, Iran, Syria down there. So that's where Galatia was in Bible times, where present-day modern Turkey is. And so this is who so Paul in his missionary journeys, he came around and he started churches in those areas, right? Those who came to believe in Jesus Christ. And so now he's writing a letter to them. And so this isn't one of Paul's prison's letters. He wasn't in house arrest during this. This is actually one of his earliest letters, probably the earliest one that he wrote. And it was written to the churches in Galatia. Right? And he was writing this important letter to the churches, and it happened in about AD 48, 49. So somewhere in that time frame, AD 48, 49, where Philemon was written in like AD 60, 62 when he wrote that letter to Philemon. So we're going back. This is one of Paul's earliest letters. And he wrote this important letter to the churches in this region to address some serious issues that were threatening the very heart of the gospel message. And so Paul felt this letter was very, very urgent. In fact, Martin Luther, this was one of his most important books that he used and right that he translated, feeling like, Martin Luther was the one who nailed the 99 Theses to the door of the Catholic Church. And so he got a hold of the Bible and he translated it. And he's saying, listen, salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone, not by our works. And so Paul felt that things were happening in Galatia. And these were communities, again, that Paul founded or at least deeply influenced during his missionary journeys. And these congregations, just to note, they were mainly non-Jewish, right? They were Gentile believers who came to believe and they received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what was going on here is certain false teachers who were often called Judaizers, right? They were called Judaizers at the time. That's the name they coined for them. We have these false teachers who are coming in and they began teaching that faith in Jesus was not enough to be saved. Just faith in Jesus was not enough to be saved. They were insisting that Gentile believers also had to continue following Jewish laws, Jewish practices, and Jewish customs, in particular circumcision. And so in order to be truly saved and experience true salvation. And so Paul wanted to address these false teachers who were teaching, these Judaizers, because they caused a ton of confusion and division among the Galatian believers, and they led some to question Paul's authority and his message. And so Paul wanted to deal with this. So he's writing this letter. One, he's defending his apostolic authority that had been given him by God himself, right? Because they're starting to question him. Hey, listen, man, we're not sure about you anymore, right? These guys are saying we still need to practice Jewish law, right? And instead of recognizing that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. And so that was one of his reasons. He wanted to clarify, of course, the true gospel, that salvation in Jesus is by grace through faith, right? Not by the works of the law. And he's calling believers to live in the freedom of the Spirit, not under Christian legalism or the desires of the flesh. So this book is often called the Magna Carta of Christian Liberty. It defends the core of the Christian gospel, that salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, is in Christ alone. You got it? Right? That salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in? Oh, I love it. Yes, in Christ alone. And so that is what Paul is defending. So let's kick in. Let's read. I just wanted to give you a little synopsis because it was a few weeks ago we did the introduction. So let me start at Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, and I'll read the first five verses. Here's what it says. Paul, an apostle, sent not with a human commission, nor by human authority, but sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a great start. Hey, it's packed. Packed with all kinds of stuff in those first five verses. The gospel Paul is preaching didn't come from religious leaders or traditions. He's saying it came from Jesus Christ himself. Amen? So Paul is proclaiming right off the hop, hey, listen, this did not come by human commission or human authority. This came by Jesus Christ and God the Father. This letter is coming in that sense. So Paul is claiming his authority right off the hop. This preaching isn't coming from religious leaders or traditions. It's coming from Jesus himself, right? It's a powerful reminder, actually, in these first five verses. As I was pondering on this, as Paul begins this letter, it's a powerful truth for us in today's world, which is full of so many opinions and trends and spiritual gurus, if you will, right? Spiritually gurus saying that our way is the way, right? It is this way. Our way is the way. But Paul is reminding us that the foundation of our faith must remain the same, right? The foundation of our faith must remain the same. The message of Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our wrongs. He was buried and he was risen again. He was brought back to life, so that his life could live in us in full abundance. Amen? Right? That is the message. It is a message from God, not from man. The gospel is not something that we improve or update. Amen? It's an age-old message that still works in today's world. Right? It doesn't need improving. It doesn't need updating. It's an eternal message, and it's perfect. Yes? Because he was perfect. It needs no update. It needs no improvement. There was this pastor I remember who once said, if you change the recipe, then you will be changing the result. Right? If you change the message of grace through faith in Christ, then you will lose the power of salvation that is found in Christ. Did you hear that? We cannot change the recipe because then it changes the result. There is no need to change or update or improve this message. Paul's an apostle sent with not with a human commission or human authority, but he was sent by Jesus and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, to all the brothers and sisters, to the churches. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us. Amen? Right? It is a message that has to be heard. We don't need any more Jewish customs or law. That is the old covenant, Paul is saying. Right? Those times are done. We don't need to bloody all this. They said again, you've heard me say before, it's like a river of blood flowing out of the temple from all of the sacrifices they had to do during that season, during the old covenant, because it was the shedding of those animals' blood that offered the forgiveness for their sins. Right? But Jesus is the once and for all final sacrifice for all of mankind, right? Again, sin is a big word for going against God, right? Right. He says it, we don't do it. That is what sin is, right? That little three-letter word, right? And so he died to forgive us of all of our wrongs. Just for our past wrongs? Just present? Just future or all? All. Past, present, and future. He died once and for all. Let's continue. Verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let that person be under God's curse! Exclamation mark. It's pretty strong language. Hey, you ever said that to somebody? If you do this, may you be under God's curse. Well, I'm sure they would love you. Okay, verse 9. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let that person be under God's curse. He says it how many times? He said it twice, right? One sentence right after the other. Paul is trying to get a point across. And then verse 10, he says, am I now trying to win human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Amen. Do you remember when Jesus said that? Right? The Pharisees and teachers are coming along and they're kind of giving him a little bit of praise. And he says, do you think I live for the praises of men? I don't live for your praises. I live for my Father. And I already know what he thinks of me. He said, I'm his son, whom he loves. And with me he is well pleased. Do you know that today? Do you know that? Right? Could you imagine living out of that identity for the rest of your life, knowing that you're loved by God himself and that he's well pleased with you? Wouldn't that be something? And so this is what Paul is speaking to them, and he's absolutely shocked that these Galatian believers would trade the simplicity of grace for a distorted, complicated message that mixed faith in Christ with human effort. Right? He said, why would you leave the simplicity of it? Right? That's what Jesus came for. Right? He came to make it simple. Right? I think Jesus came at the perfect time. When he came down to earth, he came at the perfect time. Because the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the teachers of the law, they had complicated following God. They even wrote an extra book called the Talmud with all these other rules and regulations that to follow. There was like over 600 of them. How can I possibly do this? And they made following God and knowing God so complicated to do and to be. And so Jesus says, no, I'm going to come. And I'm not just going to preach about God. I'm going to show them who God is in the Son. Amen? And he came and he simplified what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were making so complex and so complicated. I think you guys have heard me say it before. I can't remember from Sunday to Sunday or month to month. But I've said this before. If somebody brings me a complicated gospel or a complex gospel, I have decided it is not the gospel. Because this gospel message is for every person on this earth, isn't it? Right? It's for the weak, isn't it? It's for my friend who struggles with addiction, isn't it? It's for that prostitute friend of mine who's living on the streets. It's for my friend who has some mental challenges, right? Isn't it for you and for me? If this is the gospel for everybody, then it has to be for the very weakest person in this world. And so if you bring a complicated gospel to me, I've decided it's not the gospel. Remember Jesus said to that one person, he said, well, what must I do? Lord, what must I do to get access to the Father? And Jesus says, simply believe in the one he has sent. That's all he said. He didn't give a list. Did he, Jeremy? No, there was no list. Right? But what we do in Christianity is we make a list of all the things we have to do, and it gets complicated, right? And now the problem is you're living to a list and no longer to him who lives within. Right? That is the problem. And how many times in the scriptures do we read where Jesus says, come to me, come to me, come to me. Don't go to your list, but we think doing that list gains us access to the Father. And now we've nullified the work of the cross, haven't we? Right? And so Paul is absolutely shocked. What are you doing? Why are you exchanging for this distorted message that mixes faith in Christ alone with your human effort? We live in a time where people are still tempted to follow this other gospel that says you still need to earn God's approval. You still have to earn it by your good works. And you do that by your good work or by your personal performance. I promise you, there is nothing you can do that is good enough. Right? Remember that verse? This one so confused me when I was in Bible college. And it said, there is no one righteous, not even one. And I was in my room in college. There is no one righteous, not even one. Well, how can I stand before God? I remember I threw my Bible up in my room. So, well, how do we do this then? I'm doing my best. I am absolutely trying to live my best life. And if there's no one righteous, not even one, then how can we do this? Who is our righteousness? Christ. He became our righteousness for us. Because we could never live the life that he lived, could we? He lived perfectly. He was sinless. I hope I sin less and less and less over the course of my life. Right? But he was sinless. His blood was pure, and it paid it. And he came and said, there's nothing you can do that makes you acceptable before my Father. But what I've done made you accepted by my Father. Amen? It's his work. You're going to stand before heaven, and you're going to have Christ's work on one hand and your work. Which one are you going to get in with? Yeah, it's his work, right? It's not your work here, right? It's his work alone, and this is what Paul is trying to do. And he uses this absolute strong language to say, let that person be under God's curse who tells you something different. If I preach anything different than salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then I should be cursed, as Paul says. I pray there is never a day where I say, God needs a little help from you. I hope there's never a day where I preach that message. My message that has changed my life is that Jesus did it all and that he puts his life in you and he'll now do it through you. Amen? We need a new source. We needed a new engine. Did I tell you guys about the Stanley steamer car? Do you remember? Well, back in the 1800s, right, they came up with the invention of the steam engine, right? And so they decided to take that train model, steam engine, and put it inside of a car. And so they made little mini versions of the steam engine. The problem was, it was hot, it was loud, and it actually had no power, right? It couldn't even get up a hill. So they try and roll and go back down. So they're like, this did not work, right? The source of this vehicle is absolutely broken. So instead of getting rid of all the cars, they kept them until a new invention came out, the petroleum engine, the petrol engine, right? And they replaced all of those old steam engines and put that new one in. And it was quiet, right? It wasn't loud, and it actually had power. See, before you invited Christ in, you had Adam's old life, and it's powerless to do what you want to do. And you're trying to overcome life in the Adam life, who was the first man. and there's no power there, is there? But the day you invited Christ's life in, you got rid of that little mini steam engine and you put in that petrol engine, because that source in you will actually bring you victory in this life, right? I've tried. I am the biggest cream puff you'll ever meet, because I tried to do this life on my own. I did. And when I thought, maybe I'm not trying hard enough, so I tried harder and harder and harder, and I kept falling flat on my face, harder and harder and harder. Till God finally told me, listen, I don't need your help. But if you come to see that I live within you, and you allow me to live my life through you, you will experience a life that you never thought was possible in this world. And do you know that's true today? That is so true today. That I get to experience this peace that passes all understanding. A peace that the world knows not, because he lives in me. Amen? And so can you see why Paul is like so passionate about saying, be cursed if anybody else preaches a message other than the one that I've preached to you. It's strong language because Paul knew what Christ went through to bring the message of grace alone, by faith alone, that comes in Christ alone. Amen? Jesus went through a lot, didn't he? Right? And when we think that it's our work, it nullifies the work that he did. It's kind of a slap in the face, really, isn't it? Right? I did this because I know you couldn't. So rest in my complete finished work. And if you'll see and experience the abiding life in Christ, you watch what he will do through you. All my rewards in heaven will be based upon what I never did, but what he did through me. Amen? That is the difference. It's in Christ alone. The true gospel says Jesus did it all. Any other teaching that adds or subtracts from that truth is a counterfeit gospel. Amen? I'm going to repeat that. The true gospel says Jesus did it all. Any other teaching that adds or subtracts from that truth is a counterfeit gospel. Would you agree? Yes, it is the truth. Okay, would you allow me just to finish reading the last few verses? Anybody hungry for truth? Okay, sorry I caught you on that one. Okay. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. Again, he's clarifying the same point. This came from Jesus. Now, either we get to choose whether we believe him or not, but I believe because I've experienced as well. But Paul said it is not from human origin. I did not receive it from any human source, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy the church of God. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age even, among my people, and I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia, and later I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to those churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. Whew. Paul took some time out, didn't he? He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he met him in a real way. And his name before this was Saul. And the Lord came and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And notice how Paul says, I was set apart by birth. The Lord knew where he was going to take me, but he allowed me to live in contrast. Can you imagine what Paul was feeling, knowing that he killed his brothers and sisters? I mean, what a heavy thing to carry, no? To live with. It's interesting. Paul shares his personal story with us a little bit, doesn't he? He gives us, here's my personal experience. Here's my personal story. And before he met the Messiah, he was a persecutor of the church, a man zealous for traditions and determined to destroy Christians and this newfound faith. That was his goal. He was zealous about it. But something very radical happened to Paul. Something very radical. He was on the road to Damascus. Jesus met him, transformed him, and gave him a new purpose in his life. Amen? And if you'll give Jesus a chance, if you'll give the Holy Spirit a chance, he will bring transformation in your life. He will. It will transform you if only you would believe. Notice in verse 16, here, let me just read it to you again, verse 16. You have to see this point. He says, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Right? Paul did not say to me, but he revealed his son in me, not just to Paul. There's a difference, isn't there? Right? Paul uses those words. Remember, you heard it from me. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in you, Christ in me. He revealed his son in me, not just to Paul. This is the miracle of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is in the believer, changing us from the inside out. Amen? That's the difference in this gospel message. Anything that you look to in this world can only work from the outside, try and make its way in. But Jesus says, no. I'm coming right in you. I'm getting right close, personal, and intimate. I'm putting my very life in you, and I'm going to work my way out of you. Isn't that the better way? Right? Anything else in this world that you will look for is on the outside trying to work in. It's the mystery of the gospel that he's changing us from the inside out. Anything the world has to offer us for peace, anything the world has to offer you for joy and life in its fullness can only come from the outside. God gets the inside view, right? He's cleaning house from the inside and working his way out through you. Amen. It is complete inner transformation, which God knows I need, right? He knows I need complete inner transformation. Listen, I need you to hear this. I know food's coming, okay? Just please hear this. If God can transform Saul, a great enemy of the church, into Paul, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, then I believe he can transform any heart. There is not one person here in this church or here today or in this town that God cannot change because you've gone too far. If he can do that with Saul and turn him into Paul, what do you think he can do with your life? Right? Listen, I just said this the other day. I'm so glad that God spoke through a donkey because it encourages me. It really does. I'm reminded that if God can speak through a donkey, then surely somehow he can speak through me. Right? And if God can take a life like Saul and turn him into Paul, imagine what he can do with your life if you're sold out completely to him. Oh. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, please never, ever, ever underestimate the power of God's grace to rewrite your story. Never, never underestimate it. The only way you can limit our limitless God is by your unbelieving. That's the only way you limit him. The only way you can limit our limitless God is by your unbelieving. Please don't ever, ever underestimate the power of God's grace to rewrite your story. Paul is calling us to stand firm when false ideas try to creep in that you need to add to Christ's work. He's reminding us that our worth, our forgiveness, our identities are wrapped up and rooted in the person of Jesus Christ alone. Amen? In Him and in Him alone. We rest in His finished work on the cross. Amen? Right? The world will always offer you cheap substitutes, self-help, legalism, moralism. But we preach people's salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Amen? The world can never give you what you seek. So one of the things I loved about Christy, sorry, that's where my tears are coming from. As I think about her and think about her life, she really did seek out the Lord, didn't she? And she loved to hear about Jesus, and she loved hearing this message similar to what I'm preaching to you today. And it encouraged her, and it helped her along as she was dealing with her addictions. Right? He was working. And man, what God can do with a life that is sold out completely to Him. You want peace in your life? Then look to Him alone. Right? You want joy in your life, true joy, not happy. Happiness is based off of happenstance. Happiness based on my circumstance. Joy comes no matter what your circumstances are. Because you have Christ and He's enough. Amen? Okay. I'm going to be quiet now. Whew. Did you get it? Did you hear the spiritual aha or the divine amen? Right? That's what you're looking for. That is Him speaking to your heart. I hope you've heard what Paul wanted to communicate us in this first chapter of the book of Galatians. All right, I'm going to pray for the food. Please, nobody go home. Paul is the only one who has an excuse because he came to me ahead of time. Okay, but please, there's lots of food. Come and fellowship. Get to know your family. Let's enjoy a meal together. Band, please stay. Come and have some food if you can. And let's pray. Would you pray with me?